The Clare Byrne Show on News Talk
with Aviva Insurance.
Well, cremation is on the increase in Ireland, with more people than ever choosing it over traditional burial. In some urban centres, 50% of funerals are handled by crematoriums. But a new problem has emerged where some families are not collecting the ashes, and funeral directors are left with the dilemma of what to do with the abandoned urns. I'm joined by Colm Kieran, who is the founder of My Funeral Wishes and a funeral planning business also. And he joins me here in the studio. Colm, you're very welcome. Care. Thank you for being with us. Cremation clearly is becoming more and more popular, and we did hear from the UK that there's an issue with space around burial sites, so it's understandable that people are opting for this. Are you seeing, though, that there is an issue around collection of the ashes then that remain?
Yeah, I think funeral directors have learned to become a bit more, I suppose, aware of the issue of families not collecting the urns after a funeral, and have started putting systems in place to make sure that families collect even before maybe the funeral has been paid for.
And what are your obligations as a funeral director when it comes to those ashes? Do you have to, if nobody collects them, do you have to keep them?
Yeah, like I heard you speaking to Anton this morning, and like we do, we hold on to the urns. It's kind of a moral obligation. Like, you could hold on to them in perpetuity just because it's the right thing to do.
Mm-hmm.
There's no legislation covering, but I know funeral directors who are holding urns since the 90s. We ourselves are holding, I think our oldest set of ashes we're holding is probably from the early 2000s.
Right, so you'd feel deeply uncomfortable then disposing with those in any way.
Well, you just wouldn't. You wouldn't do it because sod's law is, as soon as you would do, a family will knock on the door looking for them, you know, and you have to be able to answer that question.
Why are people not collecting them? What are the reasons?
I suppose it tells the human story. It's a bit like the song Eleanor Rigby by the Beatles, you know. Some people pass away without any very close family members. There may be disputes. There could be some family members who are fighting over who's going to pay for the funeral. But in a lot of cases, you know, it's a sad thing that people aren't surrounded by very close family members. Maybe a niece or nephew has looked after the funeral, heads back to Australia after, and isn't there by the time the cremated remains are ready for collection. And unfortunately, you know, it's a terrible thing to say, but there are some people out there who just don't care whether or not what happens to these people's ashes, even if they've been the ones who've applied for cremation on their behalf.
Right. And also, I suppose there may be disputes then over what to do with the ashes.
Yeah. And a lot of cases, people don't leave clear enough instructions behind. But I know there are some, I was just looking online there, see, is it a worldwide problem? There are some Catholic churches who've undertaken to inter the cremated remains in what's called columbarium walls. And so I've had the idea even since we have a cremation wall or a columbarium wall in our parish. And I will be speaking to our parish priest to see is it something that he would be willing to facilitate, because God forbid something could happen to our premises or our business closed down or something like that. What do you do with those?
So you would come to an arrangement whereby uncollected ashes are interred in some way, or they're put there and so there is a proper place for them rather than proper, in a storeroom in your place.
Exactly. I just think it's a far more fitting way. Like, if you go back decades, there are what's called pauper's graves in parishes, where there are unmarked sections of cemeteries where, you know, there are people buried, but people never put up a headstone. So it'd be quite similar. I think it would just give a bit more dignity and respect to the people who have passed away.
Okay. Now, in terms of the popularity of cremation, what's your experience of that?
Well, it's borne out by the stats, but in terms of our pre-planning business, we're seeing a marked increase in the number of people who are specifying their wishes in terms of cremation. And a younger generation, just, you know, we would ask sometimes people why they want. And it's this sense of being buried in the ground is a big thing for people. That, like anything, the more you see of it, the more it becomes normalised and people go, oh yeah, that's for me. But there's no doubt, you're seeing it pop up. There are crematoria now in for plan permission around the country. There are new ones popping up all the time, and it's driven by customer demand.
Yeah, and like, plots are hard to come by. They're expensive.
Yeah.
Do you see all of that feeding into it as well?
Like, in terms of the city centre here, like, the cost of purchasing a grave plot can be up to €5,000 and above, or that can be where it starts from. There are some people who just don't have that. So cremation is a much cheaper alternative. Mm-hmm. Not at the time, but the maintenance, the installation of a grave, the purchase of a grave, and then maintaining it in perpetuity.
You mentioned at the start that there are some funeral directors now putting in place measures to mitigate against the ashes being left behind. What are they doing?
Yeah, well, I suppose the thing, as soon as they get them back from a crematoria, they want a family to come in almost immediately and collect them, regardless of whether funeral has been paid for or not, because of this reason. Like, I've spoken with some funeral directors in the days coming up to this interview. There's some who are holding 20, 30 urns in vaults that they feel responsible for. And it goes back to your original question. Like, it's just, it's a really sad situation that, I suppose, reflects human life nowadays. That some family members just don't care.
So what's happening? A financial deposit, is it, you know, that you would have to put down and you get that money back if you collect the urn? Is that a way to sell it?
I suppose, in fairness, funeral directors would just like families to collect them regardless of whether a deposit has been paid. But a lot of funeral directors, regardless of this, are starting to introduce deposits within their business model, because in terms of the cash flow of their business, it's just too difficult to carry all the payments that we would have to make on a family's behalf at the time of the funeral. So a lot of funeral directors will require a deposit when you make arrangements.
Well, a listener says that is the problem solved. A €5,000 deposit taken by the funeral home returned when you collect the ashes, and then you'd probably find that people would pick them up pretty quickly.
Yeah.
Another one says the ashes, once cooled, can be put in the brown bin and the final resting place, the local dump. I'll have to put a codicil in my will. Like, okay, that might be said tongue-in-cheek. Some people might not care, though. What happens to the ashes?
Well, I spoke to one of our partners who said they had somebody come in who actually signed their own cremation forms, because normally those forms are signed by a family member, and that's because they have nobody left behind and they have left instructions for what to do with their ashes.
Mm-hmm.
And that just reflects, in terms of pre-planning, the family situations that people are now in. You know, we're much more isolated than we were as a people 20, 30 years ago.
Yeah, and can funeral directors do that? If you have seen an instruction from the deceased to dispose of their ashes in a certain way, will a funeral director be happy to do that if there is nobody else?
It is. It's a contract that person has taken out with the funeral director. They've paid for the service. They've been given instruction to buy a niche in a cremation wall or to inter in a particular family plot. Mm-hmm. So yes, that very much so we would take that instruction.
Dennis McCauley, I'm sure you're aware of Dr. Dennis McCauley, who's the incoming president of the Coroner Society of Ireland. He's been talking about the post-mortem service, Colin. We were talking to Dennis a few weeks ago about this. He says that there are huge delays. It needs to be overhauled. And one of the results of the delay is that bereaved families can be left waiting a long time for post-mortems to be completed. That delays the funeral and so on. Are you aware of that? Is that an issue that you know about?
Yeah, it's very much, totally, and particularly in Dublin. It's where a lot of the post-mortems used to be carried out locally within hospitals where somebody had passed away. If there's now a coroner inquiry, all of these post-mortems are now centralised, which means that you're basically joined in a queue. And, you know, unfortunately, if there was a large fatality or a murder investigation or something like that, that takes precedence then. So what we've learned is just to manage families' expectations that it could be a week before their loved one is released, which, you know, in the context of an Irish funeral, we're used to having a funeral within 3 or 4 days.
Yes.
But being able to make arrangements within 24 hours. So trying to manage a family's expectations in that type of situation is very, very difficult. But unfortunately, that's the situation we're left in. But the Irish Association of Funeral Directors, I know, is trying to make representations to improve that process. But it's a lot of times due to the lack of training or the lack of availability of morticians now to carry out post-mortems as well. And that's not having a positive impact.
So you're left explaining to the families why the delay has happened, which isn't a comfortable place for you to be in.
What can be very frustrating is that the Gardaí, who are dealing with a family in this situation, mightn't be necessarily aware, and they will tell a family at the time, you should have your loved one back within a couple of days. And then we're left explaining, no, unfortunately, that's not the case.
Mm-hmm.
We're the bearer of bad news, but there's nothing we can do about it.
All right, well, Colm, thank you very much for coming in and talking to us about that. Colm Kieran there, who joins us on that issue of, initially we were talking about people not collecting the ashes, but obviously there are other associated problems that people are experiencing when a post-mortem is required and there is a delay. Colm, thank you very much for being with us.
The Clare Byrne Show
with Aviva Insurance.
Weekday mornings at 9 on News Talk. Conversation that counts.